you. I really do. You're a blessing to me. And every time I see you, and I see, I saw a young lady Sunday morning bring a woman down the aisle. Amen. And she's in my class. And she was beaming. And I beamed when I saw her, you know. Sunday night, a young lady came up to my wife, Mrs. Sisk, and she's in her class, and she was so excited because the woman that she had brought to church Sunday night got saved. Hey, that's what it's all about, amen. So thank you for allowing me to be here. Open your Bibles to Jeremiah chapter 23. The book of Jeremiah chapter 23. And I love to come to chapel. I do not get to come every day, but every day that I'm in town and can possibly carve out the time, I come to chapel. And it has been a blessing the last few days. Last week I was here for all the chapel services, and what a great day it was. Just every day God had something special. So let's pray that God will speak to each of our heart and give us something special today. Jeremiah chapter 23, beginning with verse 25. I have heard what the prophet said, that prophesy lies in my name, saying, I have dreamed, I have dreamed. How long shall this be in the heart of the prophets that prophesy lies? Yea, they are prophets of deceit of their own heart, which think to cause my people to forget my name by their dreams, which they tell every man to his neighbor, as their fathers have forgotten my name for Baal. The prophet that hath a dream, let him tell a dream. And he that hath my word, let him speak my word faithfully. What is the chaff to the wheat, saith the Lord? Is not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces? Therefore, behold, I am against the prophets, saith the Lord, that steal my words, every one from his neighbor. Behold, I am against the prophets, saith the Lord, that use their tongue and say, he saith. Behold, I am against them that prophesy false dreams, saith the Lord, and do tell them and cause my people to hear by their lies and by their lightness. Yet I sent them not, nor commanded them. Therefore, they shall not profit this people at all, saith the Lord. Dear Lord, we thank you for the Bible, the infallible, inspired, inerrant word of God. Now, Lord, I pray that this morning through your word, that you'll speak to each of our hearts. And I pray, dear Lord, that you'll help us to weigh some things this morning. And I pray, dear Lord, that you'll help every person in this congregation. I thank particularly for all of these young people that you have so graciously sent our way. But I pray, dear Lord, that each of them will be used in a marvelous way for your honor and your glory. And Lord, we're going to praise you not only for what you do this morning, but for everything that you do in our lives. We'll be very careful to bend our knees and bow our heads and give the honor and the glory unto you. In Jesus' precious name I pray, amen. You may be seated. In the days of Jeremiah, as in any time, there have been and were false prophets. These false prophets were leading God's people away from their dreams, away from God with their dreams and their visions and their lies. And in verse after verse, we find this kind of preaching, this kind of prophesying, greatly condemned. For instance, look in verse 9. Mine heart within me is broken because of the prophets. All of my bones shake. I am like a drunken man and like a man whom wine hath overcome because of the Lord and because of the word of his holiness. Look at verse 11. For both prophets and priests are profane. Yea, in my house have I found their wickedness, saith the Lord. In the house of God, where God's word should have been proclaimed, the priests and the prophets were doing totally contrary to what God had told them to do. Look at verse 13. And I have seen folly in the prophets of Samaria. They prophesied in Baal and caused my people Israel to err. Verse 16. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, hearken not unto the words of the prophets that prophesy unto you. They make you vain. They speak a vision of their own heart and not out of the mouth of the Lord. Verse 21. I have not sent the prophets, yet they ran. I have not spoken to them, yet they prophesied. And then notice the value of preaching the word of God. But if they had stood in my counsel and had caused my people to hear my words, then they should have turned them from their evil ways and from the evil of their doing. In other words, God is saying, if these prophets had listened to me, if they had have preached my word, if they had have told the people what I said, the people would have heard and they would have turned. But because the prophets had prophesied their dreams, their visions, lies, then the people had gone astray. In verse 28, we find a comparison to the dreams of the prophets and the word of God. Look at verse 28. The prophet that hath a dream, let him tell a dream. By the way, I've heard preachers use this for telling why we ought to tell our dreams. Now, there's some others that might tell us why we ought to tell our dreams. Amen. But that's not what this particular verse is saying. The prophet that hath a dream, let him tell his dreams. In other words, God is saying if all a man has is a dream, then go ahead, let him tell his dream. But then notice the rest of the verse. And he that hath my word, let him speak my word faithfully. Then the comparison. What is the chaff to the wheat? You see what God is saying? If all a man has is a dream, if all a man has is a vision, then he can say that. By the way, in essence, it's not going to help anybody. But he said, he that hath my word, let him speak my word faithfully. And then he says, is not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces? Oh, thank God for the infallible Bible, the word of God. Amen. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall never pass away. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. It is alive and it is powerful. The word of God. So I want us today for a few minutes to consider the question, what is the chaff to the wheat? What is the chaff to the wheat? Now, since most of you are not real familiar with agriculture, let me help you out a little bit, okay? Chaff is the refuse of winnowed wheat. After the wheat is winnowed, the chaff is thrown to one side, the wheat is put on another side. The only question that the farmer asks about the chaff is this: how can I get rid of it? It is good for nothing. However, on the other hand, wheat is a very valuable commodity. Nations prosper or fail depending on the wheat crop. Wheat is the lifeline of mankind. Wheat, a very, very profitable commodity. And so God is saying here, what is the chaff to the wheat? In other words, the word of God compared to The dreams of the prophet is like comparing wheat to chaff. Let me give you a little thought this morning. If we were standing in a large field, maybe in Kansas, flat land, a lot of wheat crops and so forth, and then on that, in that field, on one side, there is just piles of golden wheat, beautiful. On the other side, there is just piles of chaff. And someone would say to you, okay, here's the wheat over here. Here's the chaff over here. Now, you can have either one that you like. Which would you choose? You say, well, Brother Sisk, if anybody had any brains at all, they'd choose the wheat. They could sell the wheat. They could make all kind of money. Good things could happen from the wheat. Chaff, all they have to do is, how can I get rid of it? To choose the chaff over the wheat would be like a lady going to the store, buying a pair of shoes, coming home, taking the shoes out of the box, throwing them in the trash, and putting the box up on the closet shelf. That'd be like buying some ice cream and coming home, dumping the ice cream down the garbage disposal, putting the ice cream box in the freezer. That'd be like the two fellas working one day, and one of them had never eaten a banana, and he saw this banana, and the fellow said, hey, you can have it if you like. So he gave it to him. A few minutes later, he went over to the fellow. He said, hey, how'd you like the banana? He said, well, it's pretty good, but it sure had a big core in it. Or he said, Brother Sis, nobody would eat the peelings and throw away the banana. Really? I hope not. Amen. It would be like having some hickory nuts or walnuts or pecans or pecans, depending on where you're from. And you take those pecans, you know where I'm from, okay? So you take the pecans and you crack them and you throw the goody in the waste and you keep the hull, put it in the boat. You say, surely nobody would do that. I heard about a preacher giving an illustration of that nature one time, and it was at a funeral. And he said, now, folks, this corpse here, that's just the old shell. The real nut is already in heaven, okay? Now, I'd be a little careful about using that as a funeral. Okay. And you say, Brother Sis, nobody would do things like that. I mean, nobody would choose chaff over wheat. Nobody would throw away the shoes and keep the box, or throw away the box, the ice cream, keep the box. Nobody would do things like that. But every day people do. And let me show you some of the ways they do that. Number one, if I base my salvation on anything other than the Word of God, I have chosen the chaff over the wheat. And yet, all over the world today, there are people that really think they're going to heaven, and they base their belief on the fact that they are going to heaven on all kinds of things other than the Word of God. Now, the Word of God says in Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He came into his own received him not, but to as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, he that heareth my word and believeth on me, him that sent me, hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. That is the Word of God. I don't know how many times I have explained the way of salvation to somebody and take verse after verse after verse out of the Bible, and then when I'm finished with it, they'll say, well, that's what you believe. And I say, no, no, that's not what I believe. That's what the Word of God says. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. If I choose to base my salvation on my feelings, that's like choosing the chaff over the wheat. By the way, have you noticed? The best of you, someday you just don't feel saved, amen? Aren't you glad your salvation is not dependent on your feeling? If you base your salvation on traditions. Well, this is what my parents said. Now, thank God for godly parents, but you must base your salvation on thus saith the word of God. Well, you know, my family has always been in this church. I've been in this church all my life. Surely I'm going to heaven. No. You don't go to heaven because of something your family did. In order to know you're saved and going to heaven, you have to personally trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. By the way, a lot of people miss heaven because of their erroneous thinking. You remember when Naaman came down to be healed, and he had all kind of preconceived ideas about what the prophet was going to do, and the prophet sent one of his servants out and said, go dip yourself 7 times in the Jordan River. And Naaman said, I thought, by the way, that sends a lot of people to hell. I thought, wait a minute, if we base our salvation on anything other than thus saith the word of God, we have chosen the chaff over the wheat. My sheep hear my voice, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Don't base your salvation on anything other than thus saith the word of God. And by the way, if you happen to get to West Coast Baptist College and then somewhere along the line you realize that you've never been saved, don't hesitate 1 minute to get that thing settled before God. I was preaching in Piedmont College years ago, and I don't know why I make statements. You never know why you make some statements. But I just simply said, you know, the Lord Jesus Christ had 12 in the first church, and one of them was an unsaved man. Since somebody could have gotten in that first church without being saved, it may be that somebody could get in Piedmont College without being saved. That afternoon, a young man came to my door and said, Brother Sisk, I don't know why he said that, but he said, I'm not saved. I need to get saved. If I base my salvation on anything other than thus saith the word of God, I am choosing the chaff of the wheat. Number two. If I build my life on anything other than the Bible, God's word, I have chosen the chaff over the wheat. If I build my life on anything other than the Bible, God's word, I've chosen the chaff over the wheat. For instance, every area of our life ought to be built on the word of God. The Bible, God's word, ought to be the foundation of every area in our life. I think of some areas that are very important to you right now. That's the area of marriage. If we base our marriage on anything else other than the word of God, it's going to fail eventually. However, we base our marriage on the Bible, the word of God, it's going to last. I never will forget, years ago in Chattanooga, there was a place called Duff's. It was a smorgasbord. You could eat all you wanted, you know. And very, very low price. And we were there at Duff's, and I used to call it Stuff's, okay? But anyway, most people left there stuffed, okay? But we were eating with another couple, and I had gone back for something else. And when I went through the line, there was no one in the line except me. And there were two girls, and they were talking. And they were talking about marriage and so forth. One of them was single, the other was married. The single girl said, you know, I hardly ever meet anybody that's happily married. And then she said to the married lady, would you say that you're really happily married? And the girl kind of sniggered and said, well, no, I guess not. So when I got up close to him, I said, now, I wasn't eavesdropping, but, you know, you were talking loud enough I could hear you. And I said, I want to tell you girls that I have been married for 40 years, and I am happily married. And they looked at me like I was crazy or something and said, really? And I said, yeah, really. By the way, it's been 57 years now, and I'm still happily married, amen. And I said, yeah, really. And I said, by the way, I've got a good book that can tell you how to be married and stay happily married all of your life. And they said, what's the name of that book? And I said, the Bible. Amen. Hey, base your marriage on thus saith the word of God. And by the way, it doesn't matter how much you think you're in love, you're not smarter than God. Amen. Base your marriage on the word of God. The Bible simply said, here's it. Listen to it very carefully. Wives, submit yourselves to your own husband as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husband in everything. Husbands, love your wife, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. You think about it. Mutual admiration one for another, husband and wife. Mutual love one for another, husband and wife. Submission one to another. I mean, just build your marriage on thus saith the word of God. It'll last. It'll last. By the way, after you get married, when you start rearing your children, rear your children according to the word of God. When I was in Murray State University, we had to read a book by Benjamin Spock on child rearing. It was a brand new book back in those days, in the early, late 50s and so forth. Brand new book, Benjamin Spock. And, of course, our child psychology teacher was just overwhelmed with how brilliant he was and so forth. But anyway, we all had to critique the book. And when it became my time to say something, I said, Dr. Smith, her name, it was a woman teacher, Dr. Bertha Smith. By the way, she had never been married, okay? About 60 years old, something like that. Anyway, but I said, Dr. Smith, I think Benjamin Spock is wrong. And she looked at me and she said, you're a junior in college and you're telling me that this renowned psychologist is wrong. How can you say that? And I said, because he contradicts the word of God. Okay, now, I said to Miss Smith, I said, Miss Smith, I believe in spank rather than spock. Why do you believe that, Brother Sis? It's in the Bible. Now, I'm not talking about beating and being mean and all those things, but there is a proper way to raise your children. By the way, I've noticed that today, and maybe I'm just totally out of sync or something, you know, but a lot of Christians today, even Christian workers, seem like they've forgotten to use the Bible to teach them how to rear their children. Base your relationships on the Bible. Your relationships, every area of your life must be based upon thus saith the word of God. When I choose to build my marriage, when I choose to rear my children, when I choose to build my relationships with other people on anything other than the Bible, the word of God, I am choosing the chaff over the wheat. Number three, if I trust man rather than God, I have chosen the chaff over the wheat. If I trust man rather than God, I've chosen the wheat over the chaff. A young lady came to me in Birmingham, Alabama one day and said, Brother Siesk, I believe God wants me to be a missionary. I need to go to Bible college. Do you know anybody that would sponsor me through Bible college? And I said, oh, yes, I really do. And she said, who? And I said, the Lord Jesus Christ. He sponsored me, amen. Now, if we're not careful, we will trust man rather than God. Listen to the Bible. The Bible says in Psalms 118, it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. Now, that's pretty simple, okay? It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. And then the next verse says, it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in the preachers, or in the princes, I'm sorry. Now, rather than trusting some man, or rather than trusting some government to take care of me, I had better learn to trust God. Any man could fail me. But God never fails. Rather than looking to man for our provisions, we need to learn to look daily to God for our provision. Fourthly, If I prepare for time, but not for eternity, I have chosen the chaff over the wheat. If I prepare for time and not for eternity. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 6, lay not up for yourself treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and steal. And then the very insightful thought, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. If we're not careful, we'll spend all of our time and all of our talent and all of our treasures on earthly, temporal things to the neglect of eternal, spiritual things. And you know what we're doing? We're choosing the chaff over the wheat. We're not going to be on this earth very long. You say, well, Brother Sisk, at your age, you would say that, amen? But hey, any person's life, doesn't matter how long a person lives, it is very short in comparison to eternity. And yet if we're not careful, we'll spend our time and our talent and our treasures, and we'll stock up earthly, temporal things, and we're going to leave them to the neglect of eternal, spiritual things. Be kind of like my wife and I checking into a motel, and we stay in a lot of motels. My wife loves to decorate. I mean, you know, she could decorate anything. It doesn't make any difference, but she loves to decorate. And you know, she's big on color schemes and, you know, this and that and that. And so tomorrow night we check into a motel. And we get to the motel, and she says, you know, the carpet does not match the walls. And the pictures, they're not very good pictures at all. And the bathroom, you know, we really need a jacuzzi in the bathroom, not just a regular tub and so forth. And the walls need to be painted. And so, hey, we're going to be here 4 days, okay? So I began to make calls, and I call a plumber, and I get the jacuzzi put in. And I call the carpet people, and I get new carpet put in this motel room. And I go down to the art shop, and we invest in some good art to put pictures on the wall and so forth. I mean, after all, we're going to be here 4 days. We got to get this place fixed up. You think that'd be a very good investment? Probably not, huh? Yet if we're not careful, we'll want everything right on this earth to the neglect of eternal spiritual things. Be careful. Don't waste your life. Don't just use your life. Invest your life for the glory of God. Let me give you one other thing. If I choose my way of life in contrast to God's will for my life, I've chosen the chaff over the wheat. If I choose my way of life in contrast to God's will for my life, I've chosen the chaff over the wheat. Would to God that each of us would search diligently for God's will for our life. And by the way, God's not trying to hide his will. If you're willing to do the will of God, you can know the will of God. Find out what God wants you to do. Not necessarily what you want to do, but find out what God wants you to do. And then just say, by the grace of God, this is what God wants me to do, and I'm going to do it. But when I choose to have it my way, as Frank Sinatra said, I did it my way. By the way, he knows now in all probabilities that he did it the wrong way, amen? I did it my way. But many Christians are saying, I'll do it my way. I'll do what I want to do. I'll live where I want to live. I'll be what I want to be. In contrast to what God wants us to be, when I do that, I've chosen the chaff over the wheat. That's foolish. That's foolish. I don't know why I thought about this, but hadn't thought about it for years. But on the plane the other day, I was thinking about this situation. I remember when we were in Japan the first time, I got a letter from a good friend of mine. I have no idea why he wrote something like this. We were in Japan. We had $500 a month support. We were living in a house that had no air conditioning. It had no fan. We had no money to do anything with. I mean, you know, and I get a letter like this from a good friend of mine. And he was at a certain place candidating for a new church. And he told me all about everything people were doing for him. I'm driving a new sports car. We're in this motel. And he told me about all the amenities that the hotel had and all of the wonderful things. And the people here are so good to me. I have no idea why he wrote me a letter of that nature. But fortunately, about an hour before I went to the post office and got that letter, I had had the opportunity to share Christ with a Japanese man who had never heard. And all I could think about was reading that letter. I'd rather be where God wants me to be, regardless of how little I might have, than to be anywhere in the world and have everything in the world and be out of the will of God. Now, I'm not suggesting my friend was out of the will of God. He might have been in the will of God. I don't know. But all I could think of was this. I think I can be happy anywhere in the world, anywhere in the world, if I can share Christ with people. Don't just determine what you're going to be, where you're going to go, what you're going to do, just by what you'd like to do. Let God have His will and His way in your heart and life. By the way, God knows a whole lot more about you than you know about yourself. And I believe from the depth of my heart that God has some place special for every person sitting here this morning. Don't just determine where you're going to go, what you're going to be, what you're going to do, and so forth. Diligently search for God's will for your life, and then just determine to do it. I don't know a whole lot of things, but I often thought, I know one thing for sure, I'm saved and going to heaven. Number two, I know God's called me to preach. And number three, I know God called me to be a missionary. And by the way, I have absolutely no desire, no intention of ever quitting any of those things. Amen? As long as I live, I'll know that I'm saved and going to heaven. As long as I live, I'll know that God called me to preach. And I hope I can preach until I die. Some of you said you're already dead, okay? But whatever, okay? But I hope I can preach till I die. I have no desire to. And by the way, by God's grace, I'll stay in missions. God put me in missions. God called me to missions. And there have been all kinds of temptations to get out. We'd been in Japan 2 years. 2 years, I was struggling with Japanese. The church I left, they called and said, "We haven't been able to replace you. Wouldn't you like to come back to Harvey, Illinois?" You're talking about the devil getting in people, amen? And sure, I'd like to come back to Harvey, Illinois. I'm having a difficult time with Japanese. On and on and on. But by God's grace, I said, no, I can't come back. God's called me. By the way, when the church got without a pastor, they called again and said, "We voted unanimously for you to become the pastor of the church." All I can think of is this. If I would have done any of those things, I would have missed all the things that God's had for me. Young man called the other day from the mission field. He said, "Brother Sis, there's a church in Louisiana that wants me to come and be their pastor. What do you think I ought to do?" By the way, his pastor told him to call me. And his pastor says, "Whatever Brother Sis says, we'll go by that." By the way, his pastor knew what I'd say. Amen. And I said to him, and I called his first name. He's a great young fellow. I said, "Let me tell you. If I would have done what somebody wanted me to do years ago, rather than staying where I knew God wanted me to stay, here are all the things I would have missed." Every once in a while we think, but if I go where God wants me to go and I do what God wants me to do and I be what God wants me to be, look at all the things I'm going to miss. Could I tell you something? Whatever you miss, God has something far better than that for you. Let's pray together. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed.